is Matthias Klampenberg, and I am Seamus Malagavzili,
and today we'll be discussing about Brexit.
yes, the thing that has melted my brain and made it into a great tasting shake.
So what is Brexit? How would you explain Brexit? No, not explain, but what just the word Brexit?
Like, literally, what does the word Brexit
Yeah,
mean?
what does the word Brexit
It
mean?
means British exit from the European
There
Union.
you go. That's all I need to know.
Okay. It more means it is the process by which the United Kingdom is going to leave the European Union after it has been within it for about 40 some years. It was, oh, what is the word for it? Started by the result of a non-binding referendum that was conducted in 2016 by a very, very, very thin margin, which a margin that will come up likely later. The mandate is very, very thin, but Article 50, the article that regards exit from the European Union, has been triggered by Prime Minister Theresa May. And unless she revokes the invoking of that article, the United Kingdom is going to leave the European Union. Originally, it was slated to be the day of this recording, March
That's why
29th,
today's such a
but
big day, or supposedly.
it has been moved to, I believe, April 5th at the moment. That's the cliff edge, but the extension has been moved to various dates that I've seen from late April to early May. I believe the current one that the British government has been asking for is the very day before the European elections, which seems a very poor choice, very tumultuous. But that describes almost every single decision that Theresa May has ever made, so I'm not going to be surprised anymore.
Theresa May, what a.
Is that a satisfactory
I mean,
answer?
I'm satisfied. We'll see what they
Okay,
think about it.
great. What else do you have for me, Kloppenberg?
I mean, what. So, for me personally, the biggest issue is the Northern Irish border. Because
Yes.
a lot of people bring back the idea that if we bring a hard border with walls and check-ins, customs check-in, that there's probably going to be a rise of tensions and therefore bring back the troubles.
There is
What do you
already.
think about it? Because I mean, there's been attacks, a few
Yeah.
attacks in Northern Ireland already, not major
No,
attacks, nothing
there.
like back in those days, but.
Yeah, we have the tensions have obviously already been raised by the very raising of this issue
Yeah.
before. But we have to remember what the troubles were originally. During the troubles, there
I
were
mean, it was,
IRA patrols in the
yes,
middle of the
it was a
street.
nationalist vs loyalist.
Yeah,
It was really.
it was a massive event with terrorist attacks happening quite regularly,
Yeah.
massive car bombs, just terror in the streets.
Okay, maybe the troll is maybe not the greatest example, but do you think maybe
No,
a.
I think it's a good
Maybe.
example. It's just maybe I don't think
Maybe
we're going to
a
return.
softer power kind of
Yeah.
troubles. Maybe more politic leading and less actionary. Does
I
that make sense though?
potentially the main concern right now is that Northern Ireland, as of right now, and it has been for I believe over 2 years at this point, does not have a government.
Oh no, it does not.
The legislator has not been able to form a coalition for the past 2 years. The issue is that if there was to be a hard border with no real regulations put in for checkpoints or immigration procedures, that a Northern Irish government, of which there is currently none, would not be equipped to handle this, and it would the balance of power would pivot to those forces who are outside of its grasp, that being either the Irish government
There's,
or the
yeah,
IRA, the
that's what I
real
was agreeing
IRA or the
with, yeah.
Continuity IRA or loyalist militias
Well,
that are
that's the
still
point I wanted to
technically
bring out
active.
too, that the Irish government was leaning towards a potential reunification.
Sort of.
Sort of. It depends
The
if the British really want to give up Northern Ireland, which
that's
I don't think they would,
no,
just
on no
because.
planet does the British government
Exactly.
want to give up Northern Ireland. But the issue is that right now the current Prime Minister of Ireland and the current government of Ireland has made no real
No,
indications that
no.
they are going to accept Northern Ireland
Of
or
course, of
entertain the
course.
idea of a referendum. But Sinn Féin obviously has been very, very
I mean,
vocal about
they always
this.
will.
Of course, it's Sinn
They
Féin.
always
It's
will.
Sinn
It's Sinn
Féin.
Féin, yeah.
But They've been vocal about it since the very beginning, since the Brexit referendum, not since the Irish backstop became a major issue. The primary issue becomes if there is a no deal Brexit, then the hard border goes up. There are polls that have shown the first polls since polls of this issue began being conducted in the 1970s that Northern Irish people would accept by still a very thin margin, which could create even more problems potentially, but they would accept reunification with Ireland. Now, if Ireland were to unify as an island, that does not immediately it doesn't solve all of the
Oh,
issues of
not at
the
all. Not at
Irish issue
all.
immediately or automatically.
Especially, there's been so much history between Northern Ireland and Ireland that a unification will just, I think, just, it will clash two worlds together. I
In a
think, in a
sense.
sense, it will. And I don't know if it's the greatest idea
Okay.
because of the history of both.
My
You know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean in a sense. I don't know if I'm on that side
okay.
necessarily, but my main fear is that, sure, if Ireland reunifies, the purpose of the IRA,
Yes.
of its successor organizations, will cease, basically. There's no point to
Yeah.
it being existing other
Oh, of
than
course.
to counter,
Loyalists, really.
other than to counter loyalists, because that about to say, loyalist militias, Ulster militias, have not they've ceased their armed operations because
Well, of
the
course, now they've.
I want to just give up a precise example. There was an Ulster paramilitary group, the Ulster Volunteer Force,
Yes, I know of them.
while the original IRA, the provisional IRA. They ceased operations when the Good Friday Agreement came into being. The Ulster Volunteer Force did not officially end their armed campaign until 2007. They reached a ceasefire in 1994, but they did not end the armed campaign officially in 2007. They are still active, the thing is. They're still active as a political force.
Well, that'd be the. Okay, go ahead,
The
go ahead.
issue is that if Ireland were to unify, there are still throngs of Northern Irish people outside of,
Well, that's what I mean
perhaps
by
North
the
Belfast.
clash of two worlds in that sense.
Yeah.
That there's still people that hold on to the
Yes, there are
past.
still people in Northern Ireland who are going to want to,
Oh,
even
of
if they're
course.
ripped from the UK's
Oh,
hands, they're
of
going to want to go
course.
back.
Of course.
I don't think, again, that's not going to, it's just going to create a new front in that war potentially. I don't know
Yeah.
how much energy necessarily loyalist paramilitaries are going to have in that respect.
Right.
This would be a new situation for them to be fighting against the Irish government directly. If
Yeah.
there's reunification, but the chance is still there, so I wouldn't throw up fireworks just yet on the issue of Irish reunification solving the problem. The issue then becomes, okay, so no deal Brexit happens, Irish reunification. If you wanted to cull that by doing one of the solutions that was provided was that there would be a border in between Northern Ireland and the UK in terms of sea crossings. Northern Irish government doesn't want that because then they're treated as a different part of the UK. But if they don't have that, then either you go back to the hard border with Ireland, in which you're treated as part of the UK, or you're going into a situation where your Northern Ireland is treated as part of the EU. In which case, there's no point.
There's no point
This
in being part
backstop,
of the, yeah.
yeah. There are no. It is very rare for me to say in a situation that there really are no good or even pleasant options for the UK. If you are a government minister in the UK or Northern Ireland, there really are no good solutions for you, or even like blasé solutions. Every single solution that they have has such a massive caveat. There is really no other option than to go back on what you were talking about, what people are talking about with stopping Article 50. That is your only option if you want to maintain any sort of just function, basic function, because all of those other options open this Pandora's box of political turmoil. It's complicated. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, I'll bring this back to another issue.
Yeah.
This is a Scottish issue. Do you
Yes.
think, due to the Brexit, if it goes through,
Yeah.
do you think there'll be a rise first Scottish independent? It has been
That's a
questioned
good
before,
question.
because they've been, I think, the one region within the UK that were really against the Brexit compared to other regions.
Yes. As far as I'm trying to remember the election map in my brain, but from what I can recall from election night was that one, there were certain regions in Northern Ireland, conveniently those that were not on the border with Ireland, they voted to leave. There were lots of regions, and yes, I'm looking at it right now. So there were multiple regions on the border of Ireland that Northern Ireland voted to remain. The ones more inland, other than certain areas of Belfast, voted to leave. There were lots of regions in Wales that voted to leave. But every single region, and I do mean every single region of Scotland, voted to remain. It was a very, very, very pro-European Union region. The same issues that exist with Northern Ireland do not exist with Scotland. Scotland does not border any EU country. They share maritime borders, sure, but there is no land crossings. There are no checkpoints that could be produced. So if a no-deal Brexit happens, Scottish people could still go to England and vice versa. There's no border to be made. The main issue that came up of Scottish independence, the EU was a major issue during the initial independence referendum. That if Scotland were to leave the United Kingdom, Alex Salmond, the original First Minister of Scotland and the SNP, really didn't have economic plans in
Or support.
place to cover change of currency, whether or not they would be able. There wasn't a clear answer from the European Union as to if they would be able to join, because separatist regions could easily be vetoed from joining because Spain has been fighting off Catalonia. And even Catalonia independence referendum, it had to be shut down. If they were to allow Scotland into the European Union, for example, just one country, that could open Pandora's box
Right, because
in
there's
terms
so
of
many other countries
so
with
many of the
separate
countries that
regions.
have active separatist movements.
So
Some,
Catalonia, Corsica,
yes,
Brittany,
Corsica, that.
Bayern and Bavaria and Germany. So I mean, it'll set Europe in flames, really. I mean,
I don't think, now personally, I don't think more countries is
No,
necessarily a bad
I don't
thing,
think, but
but
like giving these
yeah.
examples, these are regions within Europe that always had a strong tie towards separatism.
Yes. So if Scotland were, even if it is a organized government and not a rebellious, anything, it's not doing this without the consent of the United Kingdom, it could still set a precedent. But the issue is that if there is a no-deal Brexit and there are food shortages and there are medical shortages and there are potentially riots, there was a report, I believe from Sky News, that said that they are preparing a nuclear bunker in order to basically run the UK from if there are massive riots in the street because of this. They are preparing for the absolute worst. Is Scotland may just say, okay, there is complete anarchy in this country at the moment. Should we either go for with referendum? I've seen some rumors of people clamoring for unilateral declarations, which could open up a whole different thing. Though those I should mention those calls for unilateral declaration are not, as far as I know, in government at the moment, but the sentiment still exists. The would it's it would make sense, at least in theory, for Scotland to take the chance of declaring
It's
independence,
almost the
going forward with
perfect opportunity, to
independence,
be honest.
if you're going to be out of the European Union. So either go forward as an independent country and have the option of going back in the European Union, because as long as you're attached to England, there is always the chance that you will stay out of it, despite everything. Right now, as far as I know, polls, despite the fact of no deal Brexit, polls in Scotland still are, I believe, either flip-flopping between yes or no, or firmly in the camp of no. And again, if you have such a thin mandate that the United Kingdom invoked Article 50 over, that could open up a whole different thing. Because there may not be loyalist paramilitaries that are walking the streets of Edinburgh, but there are still loyalists within Scotland,
Of course, of course.
55% of Scotlanders voted to remain in the United Kingdom. There is still the chance that there will be people who will be against leaving the United Kingdom, even if all hell is broken loose. That is the primary issue at hand. is what will Scotland do? And unfortunately, there are no clear answer. There is no clear plan at the moment.
We'll have to wait and see, to be honest.
Yes,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
This is a statement by Forbes.
Yes.
Do you think the EU controls the outcome of Brexit?
Obviously.
I
Theresa
mean,
May has proven again and again that she has absolutely no leverage in the situation.
that's true, that's
They
true.
went to Yanis Varoufakis, former cabinet minister from Greece. He went on Question Time, I believe, a couple of days ago, and talked and summarized the Theresa May's negotiation strategy pretty well, in that she went to the EU and said, "Give me everything, and you get nothing."
But
And then
like,
she
yeah,
expected
exactly.
it to go well for her, even
Of
though
course not. I mean, why would you do such a thing?
it's an absolutely absurd proposition. The fact that anyone it
Yeah.
okay, I know I've heard it's very easy to say, like, I don't understand why such and such leader did this or did that. Why did we go to the Iraq War? Why did we cut
I
Social
know what you
Security?
mean. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
But I understand some reasoning behind it, even if I disagree with it
Right,
significantly.
right, right.
Going into the Brexit negotiations with such a blind arrogance,
Do you really think that you could?
it separated entirely from reality of any sort, it genuinely floors me.
And to think that the EU would be so weak to just give you what you want.
Yeah,
You really
you're
have to be like,
negotiating with
oh my goodness.
23 something states
Yeah.
that all have their own economies. They all have some of them have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Some of them have extremely strong militaries. They're not gonna. This isn't the British Empire.
Yeah,
They're not gonna
exactly.
roll over and give you everything that you
A lot
want
of
in the
these nations also
situation.
depend on the UK to stay
Yes.
within the EU. Like, I know Germany is right now losing quite a lot of money because a lot of companies don't know where to ship certain things
Yeah.
because of the tariffs that could potentially be
And
attributed towards
that's the
the
thing, that's the thing that
Brexit.
also wraps back into this, is that Theresa May has certain leverages that she that there are certain things that she could have
Yeah.
leveraged.
Yeah.
In that company that there are a lot of companies that rely on British
Yeah,
commerce, that rely on the English Channel, but she did absolutely nothing with it. She
Yeah. Oh,
completely
man.
threw her hand and then anticipated that everything would fall, and then when she attempted very, very weakly to talk about how British companies work in tandem with European companies, no one was listening. And everybody had tried to find different avenues, and some have at this point. There is so much just inanity with the British government's plan. It truly astounds me, and there is no other option that I can truly see anyone believing than to say that yes, the EU has all they have all the power in this. The UK needs to understand it, or else they're going to fall for it. They run the risk of not only falling off the cliff, but falling off the cliff and burning alive,
Right.
and then being crushed, and then drowning. There's so you are already I'm frustrated.
We all are, to
I'm
be honest. We really
frustrated. I'm
all are.
flustered. The other thing that concerns me is that Jeremy Corbyn doesn't seem to have played his hand very well either, despite the fact that this should have been an easy layup. This is one of the most incompetent governments, not just conservative governments, but governments period. In the modern era that I can think of.
I could think of another one.
Well, which one?
Belgium.
Well, okay. Well,
Okay,
where in any case,
but I know what you mean.
I'm
Okay.
talking about like scale.
Okay, on a big scale. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
There had been I'm well aware of Jeremy Corbyn's economic beliefs. As a hardcore socialist, he is a Eurosceptic technically. He's not going to be in favor of abiding by the European Union's economic rules about free market capitalism. The issue is that in trying, he could have potentially made I don't think it would have been very successful, but he could have made a left case for Brexit, in which saying that by leaving the European Union, we could have been free, the United Kingdom would have been free of its rules about spending. on budgetary and budgets, and that they could have created a welfare state that would have served all of its people. I don't think it would have been very
No, I
successful,
wouldn't. No.
but it would have been more successful than the situation that
That
has
they are.
played out here.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't know, to be honest.
I'm talking about with voters and
Oh, okay.
popularity. I don't know about the effects of it on the economy. I don't know.
Right.
That's something that hasn't really been properly, I think, formulated by think tanks or anything that we can look to. But in Jeremy Corbyn, in attempting to placate the Labour Party, which has failed in many ways,
Miserably, miserably.
miserably, MPs defecting, which makes the Tory government, despite being, again, utterly incompetent, has made them stronger. They've been flip-flopping on positions of whether or not they're going to support a second referendum. They did, and then they didn't. Corbyn hasn't formulated a consistent position on whether or not he supports it, on what kind of alternative he would support. And his poll numbers, again, as Nicola Sturgeon pointed out yesterday in Scottish Parliament, he has somehow kept dropping poll numbers despite the fact that he's in opposition. He's the opposition leader to one of the most incompetent governments ever. That's quite an achievement. And my question is, after the Brexit fiasco is solved one way or the other, by way of no deal or revoking Article 50, what Corbyn is going to do at this point? Because he has proven that in a crisis, that demands a consistent solution. He can't formulate something in time. How can he be trusted to lead a government out of a crisis if he isn't able to control his own party, if he isn't able to formulate a consistent position, even a consistent position that would be against many of his party members, that would still be better. And is he able to counter the opposition party, which would have been the Conservative Party? And he hasn't proven that he can do either of those things.
I mean, I wanted to bring a little point, and it's not political whatsoever,
Yeah.
but it does affect us students.
Yes.
And it's the problem with universities
What
and
about
the
them?
prices, because now prices for EU citizens are going to go up
Because
if
of
you want to
Brexit.
study. Yeah, of course.
Can you elaborate further on that?
Well, for example, right now there's been a number of EU students who wanted to enroll for 2019 academic year, and it fell by 3% all across the UK. It's not a big number, but if you think about Brexit has not even happened yet. If it's already falling down by 3%, imagine when it does happen.
Oh, it the un the
No, I'm trying to say,
consequent
like,
yeah.
for example, me as an EU citizen, I can study in Scotland for free,
Yeah.
right? But now, because of Brexit, there is going to be a time where, for example, I won't be able to study for my graduate or my master's in Scotland for free
Yeah.
because of Brexit. For example, my sister right now, she's going to graduate, and the biggest issue we have as a family is to see whether she can actually go and study in a university in England,
Yeah.
or at least in the UK. But because of Brexit, we don't even know whether she'll be able to work there.
Yeah, the whole thing about lost opportunities has been a massive concern both in the EU Parliament and in the British Parliament.
A lot of students are also thinking of studying abroad now. A lot of UK students, because they know it'll be
Because
cheaper.
they can potentially get EU residency, potentially EU citizenship. That's one of the reasons why
Exactly.
I came, is because
I
I
know a lot
want.
of other students who are here, a lot of Americans who are here because of the benefits of being French or just studying here.
Yeah, EU citizenship is an incredibly I can't stress this enough, is an incredibly valuable thing regardless of your opinion on the European Union as an institution. Open borders is a massive asset to pretty much everyone. Whether or not you believe it's beneficial, it is still an asset because if you can live and work in any other country, why would you not utilize that? The main thing is that I don't EU freedom of movement, the thing that allows your sister to do the things that she wants to do, that would have fallen victim to literally any Brexit deal. There was no good option out of it.
There was no good option.
Every
We all know it,
single
but
and of course this leads back to the whole thing, is that the people of the United Kingdom were given so many different options about what leaving the European Union would be. There were ads saying that immigrants aren't being able to come to our country, but we're still going to have the Norwegian deal where we're going to be able to control our own fisheries, but we'll still have all the good things that come with the EU. We're going to have financial support and the European Parliament. It's a whole. But either way, in every single one of those positive situations, which of course all turn out to be lies, freedom of movement would have been restricted. That was one of the main sticking points that people don't like to talk about, is that freedom of movement would have been eliminated for the UK, and that was one of the selling points that a lot of people had. And talking about like regulations and chokeholds, the chokehold that the EU had on a lot of businesses, it fell by the wayside for a lot of people. Obviously, regulations may have mattered to some people, but when you talk to a lot of people, immigration was the primary issue that drove the
That's
base
for
of the
sure.
Brexit public. That's what drove UKIP. That's what drove the BNP to be able to go into the EU Parliament. But that's a whole different bag of
It's a whole
worms.
different story. I
That's
know
a
what
whole
you
different
mean, though.
story. We are coming to the end of our time here, but is there anything that you would like to ask me about before we go?
I mean, it seems like now they've just been trying to push it to the 22nd of May.
22nd of May, yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure yet. It's still being confirmed.
That's the extension that they requested, yeah.
I mean, I think they just keep on asking for more extension.
That
And I
I
think the EU will just be like, hey, like, no.
that that's what people have been talking that's what people have
And
been saying.
it kind of shows already that the government is not ready to move on.
Oh God, though.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're asking for so many more extensions, it already tells the government is in disarray. They don't know what to do. They seem
Yes.
confused. And the people are finally some a lot of people are finally realizing the effect of Brexit,
Yeah.
which is causing a whole different deal about new referendum potentially too, so.
The issue is that, again, with asking for an extension, you've already kind of admitted defeat in this
Yeah,
way.
exactly.
But all it takes is one European Union country, especially one that has a Eurosceptic leader like Salvini,
Well,
to
almost
veto
any
it.
country,
And
a lot of
a lot
countries.
of yeah, a
I
lot of
mean,
countries.
Poland's like this. Hungary's becoming more like anti-EU,
Yeah, all it
so
takes
it's
is one of those
becoming.
countries to veto it, and then
Yeah.
Europe and then the UK goes out with no deal.
As long as the big countries like France and Germany, which we all know are the EU strong points, if they
Yeah.
stick to this right, democratic, center-right view and give nothing to the UK, I think the UK could go with a second referendum.
Yeah, but
But
the extensions, I feel like they're gonna ask for guarantees of maybe either what you said, a second referendum or more thought out policy
Yeah,
on
for
what they would
sure.
do. Because if the UK keeps asking for extensions without guarantees, then nothing's gonna happen. I agree. There's gonna be a veto, and there's going to be a no deal. And I pray I will leave this podcast with this. I pray that Theresa May figures out what she's doing and realizes that she needs to put more thought into this process, and that she needs if there is going to be a Brexit, which I pray there won't be, but if there is going to be a Brexit, that there needs to be a thought out policy for it. But I think genuinely, I think she's just going to ask for an extension with no caveats, no catches, and she's going to veto it, and there's going to be a no deal, and it's going to be a fucking disaster.
Well, thank you. Well, this was the Peacock Plume by Matthias Kallenberg, and thank you
Seamus Malik Afzali.
for listening to us, and I hope you learned something from this.
Okay, thank you.